Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vedanta Limited Quarter Four Financial Year 2023-24 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Prerna Ahluwalia, Deputy Head Investor Relations and Company Secretary, Vedanta Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Quarter Four and Year-End Earnings Call for FY24. On behalf of the entire Vedanta team, I would like to thank you for joining us today to discuss our financial results and business performance. The transcript and audio of this call will be made available on our website. The financial statements, press release, and presentation are already available on our website. Today, from our leadership team, we have with us Mr. Arun Misra, our Executive Director, Ajay Goyal, our Chief Financial Officer, Ajay Agarwal, President Finance. We also have leaders from a couple of our key businesses: Mr. John Slavin, CEO Aluminum Business; Steve Moore, Deputy CEO Oil and Gas; and Hitesh Vaid, CFO Oil and Gas. Please note that today's entire discussion will be covered by the cautionary statement on slide number 2 of the presentation. We will start with an update on our operational and financial performance, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Arun Misra.
Thank you, Prerna. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining today's quarterly business performance update. Before sharing the quarterly performance, I would like to share that continuing on our ESG journey, Vedanta has been rated A- in CDP Water Rating and rated B in CDP Climate Change. Compare this to the industry average of rating of C, whereas Hindustan Zinc has been rated A- both in CDP Water and CDP Climate Ratings. Also, along with Vedanta being ranked third and Hindustan Zinc being ranked first position in S&P Global Corporate Sustainability Assessment 2023, our Vedanta Aluminum has also been ranked first in S&P Global Corporate Sustainability Assessment 2023. Moving on to Quarter Four FY24 performance, we delivered a revenue of 34,937 crore rupees, almost same as last quarter, with an EBITDA of rupees 8,969 crore, up 3% quarter-on-quarter, while protecting our margins by significantly reducing our costs across all our business segments. Aluminum and zinc continue to be among the lowest-cost producers globally, consistently ranking in the first quartile and the first decile of the global cost curve, respectively. Moving on to the annual performance, we exited the year with second-highest-ever annual revenue of 141,793 crore rupees and EBITDA of 36,455 crore rupees, with EBITDA margin of 30% in spite of moderate commodity cycle, purely driven by total cost optimization to the tune of above 10,000 crore year-on-year. On operational performance, this financial year has been a remarkable year for Vedanta. Aluminum business delivered highest-ever annual production of 2.37 million tons, with impressive cost reduction of 23% from the previous year. Hindustan Zinc has set a new benchmark as the world's third-largest silver producer, with an all-time high annual silver production of 746 tons. Zinc India also recorded highest-ever mined metal of 1.08 million tons and highest-ever refined metal of 1.03 million tons, with annual costs down 11% year-on-year. Iron Ore Karnataka has recorded highest-ever annual sales, which is up 19% year-on-year, also achieved highest-ever annual production at value-added business, up 19% year-on-year. At ESL Steel also, we achieved highest-ever annual crude steel production of 1.39 million tons, up 8% year-on-year, driven by debottlenecking and improved operational efficiency. Looking forward, financial year 2025 promises significant growth across the entire business portfolio. In aluminum, we have already expanded the Lanjigarh refinery capacity to 3.5 million tons per annum, with the commissioning of Train 1 of 1.5 million tons per annum. We are on schedule to commission Train 2, which will add another 1.5 million tons per annum in Quarter 2 of FY25, with a full ramp-up anticipated by the end of this fiscal year. Balco expansion to 1 million ton per annum is also making steady progress. These projects position us to achieve our targets of producing 90% value-added aluminium products and alloys, securing 100% captive alumina and coal supplies, 3 million ton per annum of aluminium production with a strong margin of $1,000 per ton, generating in excess of $3 billion EBITDA. In Zinc India, following successful commissioning of Fumer plant and the mill revamping, we are geared to commission 160,000 tons per annum roaster plant in quarter three of this fiscal year and 5.1 lakh ton per annum fertilizer plant in quarter two of next fiscal year. We have produced 700 tons of alloy from our Hindustan Zinc alloy plant and are ready to ramp up the capacities further. In Zinc International, with one of the world's largest zinc deposits, is poised to deliver significant value. Amsburg Phase 2 expansion project is running under full swing and is expected to ramp up by quarter 2 of financial year 26. In iron ore, during the quarter 4 financial year 24 end, we operationalized the Bicholim mine in Goa of 3 million ton per annum capacity, making the commencement of first mining operation in Goa region in nearly 6 years. Our target for next year is producing 12 million ton per annum of iron ore in our iron ore business, and the value-added business production is estimated at 1 million ton per annum. In ESL Steel, the expansion to 3.5 million ton per annum is on track for completion in financial year 25. With the VAB expansion to 1 million ton per annum at IOB and ESL Steel together, we will be able to produce overall 4.5 million ton per annum of steel and pig iron in our facilities. In oil and gas, moving forward with growth capex of $400 million in financial year 25, we remain committed to drilling more infill wells, maximizing resource recovery, and discover more resources for future growth by focused development and exploration. In power, we are proud to have supplied one of the largest units of commercial power to our national grid. Furthermore, synchronizing Unit 1 of 150 megawatt Meenakshi power plant, along with securing financing for Athena, takes us a step closer to delivering on our goal of supplying 5 gigawatt of commercial power within next 2 years. In this financial year, we will be fully commissioning Meenakshi power plant. In fact, we exited last financial year with a run rate of 110,000 tons per annum capacity. We will further ramp up the ferrochrome production to 150,000 tons per annum in financial year 25. In summary, FY25 is going to be a transformative year for Vedanta, with completion of most of our growth projects. For this, we are allocating an estimated $1.9 billion of growth capex. This strategic investment reflects our determination to drive transformative growth for all our stakeholders. With the recent surge in commodity prices, particularly aluminium, zinc and silver, we are going to unlock tremendous value. Our low-cost and world-class assets across businesses, coupled with strong financial position and commitment to ESG, position us perfectly to capitalize this opportunity from rising demand and unlock exceptional growth for all our stakeholders. In conclusion, as we welcome the new financial year, we'll carry forward the current momentum with the knowledge that each milestone we achieve is a stepping stone towards greater success. We believe that this is going to be our historical best ever year in terms of volume, revenue, cost, and bottom line. We also believe, looking at the macroeconomic trends and analysts' consensus, current northward movement of commodity cycle will continue helping us in this effort. This year will also be historical in terms of commissioning of many of our large projects, including the world's largest alumina refinery in Lanjigarh, expansion at Balco to 1 million ton per annum, expansion at ESL Steel to 3.5 million ton per annum, which not only impact favorably in our input costs, but will also help us increase VAT percentage in a big way. Our transformative cost focus will continue, that will optimize cost across all our portfolio by 10 to 20%. We continue to see increase in demand, especially in domestic market, in double digits across our portfolio, especially in aluminium, where the likely growth may cross 15%. We are uniquely positioned in this optimistic environment that our production and most of the consumption are in the same geography, that is India, which is recording highest ever growth among all emerging economies. Across our portfolio, we will also add about 10% additional capacity by aggressive debottlenecking efforts and asset optimization. We have invited all of you to visit our marquee operation sites in Jharsuguda, SK Mines and Barmer. I am sure you will be pleasantly surprised to see our global best quality assets. Our journey thus far has been remarkable, but the path ahead is even more promising. Together, we will continue to push the boundaries, redefine excellence, and create lasting value for all our stakeholders. Thank you, and over to Ajay.
Thank you, Arun, and good evening, everyone. I'm very happy to provide an overview of our financials for the fourth quarter and for the full fiscal FY24. Capitalizing on our momentum from the last couple of quarters, our teams have achieved impressive financial performance, evidenced by highest ever annual volume and substantial cost savings across our key businesses, which ultimately led to strong financial results. Speaking of the full year first, I'm very happy to share that we have delivered second ever highest annual revenue and EBITDA of 1,41,793 crores and 36,455 crores respectively, despite a downward trend in pricing. This delivery stems from volume augmentation and cost compression through structural changes. Furthermore, our EBITDA margin improved by 240 basis points to 30% and ROC again by 240 basis points to 23% in comparison to FY23. For fourth quarter, our singular focus was on operational excellence and cost management. It has helped us deliver yet another good quarter. Few of the key highlights for the quarter are: our console revenue remains steady quarter on quarter at 34,937 crore amidst lower LME and a fluctuation in exchange rates. We achieved fourth quarter EBITDA of 8,969 crores, marking a 3% increase quarter on quarter with a margin improvement of 75 basis points quarter on quarter. We also could generate robust free cash flow pre-capex of 9,948 crores with a substantial increase of 131% quarter on quarter. Our debt has reduced by 6,155 crores quarter on quarter. I will repeat, at Vedanta console level, we deleveraged in the current quarter by 6,155 crores quarter on quarter. It also led to improvement in net debt to EBITDA ratio from 1.7 in the previous quarter to 1.5 as on March end fourth quarter. Let me move to EBITDA bridge. EBITDA increased by 3% quarter on quarter, majorly due to increased volumes stemming from enhanced operational efficiencies and cost reduction despite lower LME. Moving to debt bridge, in the fourth quarter, our net debt reduced by 6,155 crores from December 23, reaching to 56,388 crores, primarily driven by strong cash flows from operations and working capital release. In terms of the balance sheet, our commitment to a disciplined allocation of capital is evident from prioritizing, maintaining a robust balance sheet, sustaining healthy payout ratio with good dividend yield. As on March 24, we held a healthy cash and cash equivalents amounting to 15,421 crores, which marks an increase of 21% quarter on quarter. I would like to highlight that significant progress our holdco VRL has made in reducing its debt, having deleveraged by 1.6 billion during the last fiscal. Further, I also like to highlight that we have deleveraged VRL, our holding company, by 3.7 billion over the last 2 years, bringing down its debt at holdco from 9.7 to 6 billion as on March 24. As we usher into a new fiscal, FY25, let me re-emphasize a few things. We are well positioned to sustain the current momentum, and this year will mark our historical peak in terms of volumes, revenue, cost efficiency, and bottom line, which will be strongly benefited by ongoing upward trajectory of pricing cycle. In FY24, we allocated 1.4 billion to growth capex, bringing several projects close to completion, Consequently, now we are allocating and committing 1.9 billion capex in FY25, which will not only positively impact our input cost, but will also enable a substantial increase in realization to higher value product. Moreover, we foresee robust demand growth, particularly in the domestic market, with double digit across our key businesses. We have engaged with analysts and investors over the last few weeks. There has been significant inbound interest from marquee domestic and foreign investors. Over the last few months, our stock price has surged to 2-year high. I would like to reiterate that we are well on our path to meet delivery, deleveraging, and demerger as we have committed in FY25. Thank you. I hand over to operator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Ashish Kejriwal from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers in this environment. A few questions just to get a sense on our status on different things, like our status on steel plant sales, where we are in the vertical split of the businesses, and especially in the coal blocks where we are. These are the three questions, and then I can go for some reading whether that has peaked out for us or not.
So, hi, Arun Mishra here. So, let me address the strategic sale of our steel plant asset. Yes, it is still under consideration, and of course, there are certain regulatory clearances which are yet pending, and we are very hopeful considering the advance that we have been able to make in last quarter, that in this first quarter of this fiscal itself, all the regulatory clearances will be over. So then perhaps the transaction, if it were to happen, it could happen at that time.
So at the outset, sir, what could be our outer limit in that?
I wouldn't say there's an outer limit. It is under consideration, and the moment it is, I guess anywhere between quarter one, quarter two, if the clearances are over and the buyers are ready, it should happen. On the vertical split, I will ask Ajay Agrawal to brief. Ajay?
Thanks, Arunji. So on the demerger part, Ashish, you would recall during our meeting as well, I have informed you that all the questions which were raised by both NSE and BSE has been appropriately resolved. The only thing which is pending now is to get the NOC from the lenders for us to file the application with the NCLT. That's a step two in our milestone. I'm happy to let all of you know that on the lenders NOC as well, we have started to receive few of the NOCs from the private lenders and from the PSUs. The discussions are on, and we are very confident to get a few of the NOCs by the end of this month, and the rest will also follow start of the next month. I hope that answers your question, Ashish.
Sure. So, sir, we are maintaining our CY24 and guidance of this vertical split of the businesses?
Absolutely. We are very strongly confident about achieving this milestone.
Sure. Thank you.
And on the issue of coal mines for our aluminium sector, Jamkhani coal mines produced 2.1 million ton in last year, and is slated to produce more than 2.6 million ton in the coming fiscal year. Radhikapur coal block, it is likely to start in quarter four of the current fiscal year. Its environment clearance is in place. Forest clearance stage one has been obtained. Now the compliances of stage one is being done. After that, the stage two clearance will be obtained. On the Kurloi mine, environment clearance is recommended. Forest clearance stage 1 is in progress. Likely commissioning again quarter 4 of financial year 25, that's current fiscal year. and Bhograpalli allocation has been done. It's likely to come into line in financial year 2026, that's next fiscal year. Yeah?
Sure. Sure. Thank you so much. And sir, Ajay, this is for you. Are we still reiterating that our debt has peaked out in FY 2024, and all other ongoing expansion will be funded through internal accruals, as well as the debt, as well as the dividend payment to the dividend payment, which can help in deleveraging parent debt?
No, absolutely, Ashish, and we met last, and we made one more commitment that, beyond the existing deleveraging of $3.7 billion, we'll be further deleveraging by $3 billion over 3 years. And if you simply look at our guidance value and transpose with the spot LME, EBITDA will be no less than $6.5 billion. So over next 3 years, cumulatively, our EBITDA will be almost $20 billion plus, and with that, the cash flow, $7 billion-$8 billion. That cash is sufficient to meet our need for the CapEx in India, at the same time, paying dividend. So both Vedanta Resources and Vedanta Limited will deleverage over next 3 years.
Sure. Sure. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Indrajit Agarwal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Can you please highlight the cash outflow, broad cash outflow, either for debt repayment or royalty payment due in the next 3 months and 12 months, both at Vedanta Limited level and the parent level?
Yeah, sure. So if I start, Indrajit, first with the Vedanta Resources, and as you have seen, beyond deleveraging, in the current fiscal, sometimes in January, we also went for debt restructuring. Hence, the need for money at Vedanta Resources in the current fiscal is about $1.1 billion, out of which maybe a small portion, in fact, is required in the first quarter. It's about $620-odd million, including the interest cost. How do we plan to service that? As you know, the brand fee is payable in the first quarter contractually. It has been paid in line with the last year. Now, dividend is a board matter, but if I look at our historical numbers and pay even a smaller dividend, so net-net, in the current fiscal for the Q1, a combination of the brand fee and a normalized dividend will be sufficient to meet the obligation at Vedanta Resources, about $1.1 billion. Speaking of Vedanta Limited, at Vedanta standalone, the maturity is about $1.5 billion, out of which a very small portion is in the first quarter. Most of the maturity at Vedanta Limited are fully secured. They are secured loans, hence refinancing is an option. Additionally, as I mentioned, with the current outlook of the pricing and our guidance on the volume and cost, at VDL, we'll have sufficient cash to manage any maturities. So net-net, in terms of our CapEx and the maturities, will be managed mostly in-house. No new debt need to be raised from the current levels.
So in your current interaction with lenders, is there any sharp difference between the current cost of borrowing versus what the refinancing cost would come through at Vedanta Limited level?
Given our size, Indrajit, and our historical engagement with the multiple lending cohorts, be it PSU bankers, be it Indian private bankers or international bankers, we've got deep engagement, be it in India or in, I think, across the world, including London. If you look at recent borrowings, I can point out to one lending through PFC, so almost 4,000 crore for 11 years at about 10.5%. So all ongoing discussions, any refinancing will be done at a lower cost than the previous one. Not only deleveraging, including the cost of funding, will come down in the current fiscal.
Sure. And my next question is on bauxite availability from OMC. Any progress on that? What is the status? Are we getting sufficient bauxite? What kind of timelines we can look at for that?
The bauxite on OMC contract is in place. Sunil, bauxite is in place, and our own Sijimal mine that we are going to start, that forest clearance stage one is due. Once stage one is done, then we're getting the environment clearance, and also we'll start our own bauxite mine. Further, maybe John, if you are there, anything you would like to add?
Sunil, Arun, thanks very much. We continue to get bauxite from OMC as per the agreed contract with them. It is producing at full approved capacity, and we are getting great materialization from the mine to the refinery, so it's meeting a part of our full requirements. But as you mentioned, we're really looking forward to ramping up CG Mali in the second half of this year, which will enable us to avoid further procurement from some overseas bauxite.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Vikash Singh from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand that since we are demerging our business, a bulk of our debt is in the standalone business, while the standalone business current EBITDA probably would not be sufficient enough. So in terms of debt redistribution, can you give us some insight that how this standalone debt would be redistributed among the other companies?
Well, request my colleague Ajay Birwal to respond.
See, you know, insofar as demerger regulations are concerned, it is quite sacrosanct to say that all the debt will get allocated across each of the demerged entity in the ratio of the assets in which the assets get allocated amongst the six different demerged entities. So there is very less leeway for any one of us to really play with it for it to be a tax neutral demerger. So basis the regulation, we have apportioned the debts across the six entities, and based on this formula, we have gone to the lenders for the specific approval.
Understood, sir. Sir, second question pertains to our oil and gas business. While the realizations and volumes were lower, operating performance had been pretty good. So, am I missing something? Because sequential also, there was a significant improvement.
No, you know, what has been achieved is, in spite of decline in production, the cost management has been very good. So the target of keeping the cost between $14 to $15 per barrel has been achieved. Further, Steve, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, just let me add that we've also really focused on keeping the production as high as possible and growing it in the fields where we have the highest margins. So although we've seen production fall in some areas, the areas where we make the biggest margins, we've actually seen production increases or very stable production. So that has helped the return on the production that we've been making.
Understood. Just one clarification. The US $3 billion debt repayment in Vedanta Resources, which you're talking about, this is exclusive of the Zambian basically, Konkona copper mine stake sale, right? If that happened, then it would be over and above that, or it's overall, basically?
So just to clarify, the number I quoted for Vedanta Resources, that $1.1 billion requirement in the current fiscal, it is Vedanta Resources. There's no debt requirement for Konkona KCM, and any funding need for KCM will be self-funded from the ore from the mine.
No, sir. Actually, my questions pertain to that there was a lot of food in the media circle that we wanted to sell part of the stake in the mine. So the three-year plan of $3 billion debt repayment in Vedanta Resources cumulatively, does that number include your internal calculation on stake sale also, or that is over and above? This $3 billion is entirely from the internal repayment or dividend repayment from Vedanta Limited. That's what I want to understand.
Sure, because now I understand. The $3 billion is purely organic cash flows. From the operating cash flows, we will be deleveraging the VRL and the group over next 3 years' time. Any action strategically will be incremental over these numbers.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best for future. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just coming back to the same question on the liability at Vedanta Resources, the 1.1 is long-term debt, right? The interest amount is separate over and above this.
That's correct. So almost 0.6 is interest. So 1.1 plus 0.6, about circa 1.7 is a need at Vedanta Resources.
Okay, and what about the ICL, the $450 million?
That is internal, Rashi. I mean, almost 417. So between Vedanta Limited and Vedanta Resources, net it becomes a wash. So if VRL pays, which they will as scheduled in December, we get the cash flow at Vedanta Limited.
Sure. So that's still scheduled for December 24, right?
That's right.
Okay. Secondly, the Balco expansion, when is that scheduled for? Like which quarter of this year?
The Balco expansion is scheduled to be commissioned by the third quarter of this year.
Third quarter. All right. And
yeah.
Lastly, what is the retained earnings at the moment at the Vedanta level?
At the Vedanta, it is 1.5 thousand crores. At the Zinc, it is about 4,000 crores. So as on the 1st April, at the year beginning, we as a group has 5,500 crores as RE balances. I also like to point out, Rashi, if you look at our EBITDA numbers, we don't guide in terms of EBITDA. But as I mentioned, if you simply transpose the spot LMEs with our guidance on production and the cost, EBITDA will be no less than 6.5 billion. With that, almost 2.5 billion will be the PAT number. So net-net, 2.5 to 3 billion will be the reserves in the current fiscal in case we are leaning towards the ceiling and payment of dividend.
Got it. And just last question, sorry, on the transfer of the general reserves to the retained earnings at the Vedanta level, you know, is there any movement there on the lender's approvals?
It is where it was last time, nothing significant I must point out. So nothing much on Vedanta side. But there is a progress in terms of zinc discussion. And as you know, we are done through all steps, including approval shareholders. The second motion is also filed with the NCLT. The hearing was done on 18th of April. It has been postponed to 17th of May. And we hope this will get finished in the current quarter.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the chance. First question on the aluminium business, our volume guidance is very similar to this year. So we're not expecting any contribution from Balco's expansion. Is one clarification there. And secondly, our cost also is around $1,700 range, which is what we've achieved in 4Q. So directionally, can we say that large part of the commodity deflation is already factored in our cost?
So as far as cost is concerned, we will continue the current drive. So the deflation is factored, but we will continue our current drive of cost reduction. And in quarter three, we had a cost of $1,854, and in quarter four, we reduced to $1,823. And in the guidance, we are talking about between 16 to 17. So maybe another $100 or $200 reduction in cost. Whereas if you look at the Balco expansion likely to come in quarter three, first quarter will be, you know, stabilizing the new facilities and ramping up. So we expect if it happens, so that increment will be over and above the guidance that we are giving.
Mr. Nevatia, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that answers my first question. Just want to reconfirm, when is our brand fees contract expiring and when is it due for renewal?
The brand fee right now is a long-term agreement for 15 years. 2028 is expired date.
No, but percentage, the rate is, I guess, to be decided every 2 or 3 years, right? So just want to know that expiry.
In the last revision of the last fiscal from 2 to 3%, it was blocked for next 6 years, and hence the next revision will be due only in 2028-29, unless the board want to review earlier.
Okay, got it. Okay, so the board has the discretion to change the date, right? Or prepone it or postpone it.
Correct. But right now it is for next 6 years, starting the last fiscal. And in case the board want to change earlier, they have the discretion.
Understood. And the ICL, which is outstanding, what is our sense on the timeline? Currently, I think December 24 is the payout expected, but in the past we've pushed it several times. So just want to understand how are we looking at this ICL coming in December 24 expiry?
ICL has been getting paid on time. I think with the one board approval, only once it has been deferred by mutual agreement. The next the summit is due in December. It will get repaid on schedule.
Understood. And lastly, on the steel business, we are running at good utilization around 1.3, 1.4 million tons volume. I mean, the margins have been quite poor. So, I mean, is there an issue with the, I mean, what are the key reasons? I mean, our margins have been quite inferior versus the industry. So if you could just explain on that.
So on the cost side, although has been managed, the cost has come down. But our pig iron, which is a substantial portion of the output, did not fetch good NSR in the market. And that has squeezed the margin. However, that's why our DI plant expansion project that should get commissioned this time will add more value-added product and is likely to improve the margins going forward.
Understood. And any rough sense on what is our expectation, any broad range from the divestment of these assets?
I think get to divestment
of the steel business.
The broad range of how much would be the price of it, you are asking?
Yes. What is?
I am afraid that I am not able to disclose just now.
Okay, but once you this quarter end is where we are expecting to conclude.
So it should see it also. If we get the environment clearance in quarter one, I am sure that it will take some 3 to 4 months time for transaction and all that. Maybe in quarter one end or quarter two, sometime in the middle.
Got it. All right. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. Sir, first a very basic one. You indicated that the debt will be apportioned in the ratio of assets. Sir, why should it be in the ratio of assets? Why not on the basis of cash flows? How should we understand this?
Ajay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. So, you know, why it needs to be on the basis of assets? It is largely driven under the Income Tax Act. Given the fact that, you know, it will be a tax-neutral demerger, for it to be a tax-neutral demerger, you have to allocate all the liabilities, especially the bank loans and borrowings, basis the assets which is getting allocated across each of the businesses. But I take your point. Obviously, the lenders will also consider when they give their NOC whether the strong business, whether it has each of the businesses which is getting demerged, whether it has strong cash flow or not for them to get comfortable in order to get the NOC. So be rest assured, while the formula says that the debt will get allocated, this is the assets being allocated across each of these businesses. Each of these businesses will have strong cash flow as well for it to meet both the asset cover as well as the interest coverage ratio.
Right. Sir, you touched upon asset cover. So if hypothetically it gets apportioned on the basis of asset, what is the debt to EBITDA ratio that one would possibly look at for each of the segments? Because if I do the math on the basis of asset, we are looking at debt to EBITDA potentially upwards of 5x. Like, is this something which is tenable, or will a lender be okay with it, or is it something off in what I'm looking at?
Well, you know, the asset which they consider at the moment is the historic value, the value which is standing in the balance sheet and not necessarily the realizable value. And when we submitted our proposal, basis which we don't believe that the asset cover, the debt to EBITDA ratio will be around the 5. Most of the lenders are fairly comfortable with the numbers which we have proposed to them. It will be in the range in which we are today. Some businesses maybe have the ability to take on larger debt, for example, power. And certain businesses, for example, the residual company, which will be Vedanta standalone, which will house Fracor, Nicomet, and Hindustan Zinc, may also have a slightly higher debt, but it has the capacity to really service not only the debt, but it will have a larger asset base as well. For example, Hindustan Zinc's entire equity will be in that company.
Sure, this is helpful. Sir, my second question was, so we have indicated $3 billion of repayment at the VRL level. including the interest component of servicing over the 3 years, what will that number be? Like, if I assume like 13-14%, it will be like $5.5 million. How should we look at this number, including ICL and the interest cost?
See, when we say the need of the money at it is about 1.6, 1.7, including interest in the current year, FY25. This number, in fact, is far lesser in the year next. So net, when we are saying we'll be deleveraging about 3 billion at Vedanta Resources, now do the broad math. We are paying a brand fee, give and take out 0.4 billion every single year. That makes about 1.3, 1.35 over 3-year time frame. And if we pay the normalized dividend, almost say 1.8 to 2 billion, it will mean 3 billion of dividend at Vedanta Resources, plus give and take 1.5 is a brand fee. Total cash organically between brand fee and dividend will be almost 4.5 billion. And if you reduce from their interest cost, still almost 3 billion is left for deleveraging. So combination of the brand fee, the routine dividend will be sufficient to meet target of 3 billion deleveraging over 3 years at Vedanta Resources.
This is helpful. And just last two bookkeeping questions. Have we got into hedges into any of the segments? Like historically, we have done this. So are we taking any commodity call? Are we getting into any hedges?
Very much, Rishish. In fact, risk management on the pricing is a continuous process. And you're right, we hedged a couple of years ago, and it proved to be a good measure. We gained more than half a billion on the hedging part. Recently, we have begun to hedge, knowing the pricing is moving upward. We made a small beginning, almost 120 KT, almost 5% volume for aluminum has been hedged. The average pricing is about $25-$50 per ton. Similarly, for in case of zinc, a small quantity, almost 30 KT, has been hedged in the current year, about 2-2.5% of the volumes at average pricing of $28.50. So made a beginning, and we keep tracking it as the market progresses. Now, I also like to point out, if you look at the forward curve for most pricing, it is showing all contango, which means everybody believes the pricing of all commodities will keep going northwards, and hence hedge, not to hedge, will be a continuous process.
Sure. If you permit, just last question, I think a couple of quarters back, we had indicated a number of $7.5 billion of EBITDA. I think it's said in the last presentation as well. Would it be possible for you to give a segmental breakup over here, aluminium, zinc, oil and gas and power, the top 4 months?
So Ritesh, in our analyst investor meet in mid of March, we indicated about $6 billion EBITDA for the current fiscal. That number was given almost six weeks ago. And thereafter, as you would agree, the pricing has taken a big, you know, northward trend. That should continue. And one can look at our guidance of volume and the cost. If you take a midpoint of that and transpose with the spot price, in that case, the EBITDA is about 6.3, 6.4 billion. And if you also look at the pricing uptick, one can reach towards 7 billion. That's the math. If you like, we can share with you offline the breakup by businesses. You can write to Prerna Hanumasia, please.
Sure. This is helpful. Thank you so much. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So I had a question on the copper smelter impairment that we've taken. So we only written off part of the total value. So the carrying value, I think, as per the notes to accounts, was something like 1,681 crores. But we've impaired only about 746 crores. So is the balance, are the balance assets, like can they be sold or can they be used somewhere else?
Yes, as you know, the accounting need to follow the conservative as a basic principle. And given the recent ruling, which we have gone for now review petition, from accounting viewpoint, we have taken an impairment charge. Now, there are 3-4 components. Land has not been revalued. So we keep the land as the original cost, which means in future, that can be only an upside. For the remainder assets, be it property, plant, equipment, inventory, and rest all, we have gone for the valuation by a third-party expert. In that case, the market value of those assets has been retained. Rest has been impaired. So in summary, Pallav, from impairment viewpoint to decoding, there will be no further downside in future, irrespective of what the outcome is of that asset.
Also just on the steel business, you know, so I think ESL has a captive iron ore mine. So I'm guessing the recent, EBITDA loss would probably be because of coking coal prices. So with coking coal prices coming down, can this turn back into, you know, a positive EBITDA in the coming quarters?
Yeah. Obviously, if the coking coal prices start coming down and at the same time, the DI plant, pipe plant gets commissioned, so we're adding more NSR to the margins, to the product, then of course it will turn profitable. There is no reason why it should not.
Yes, so because I mean, selling an asset at an attractive valuation, which is not...
No. See, that strategic call. The strategy is in Vedanta, we would like to be in business of metal where we are counted among the top three in that business, right? Whereas in steel, with a 3 million ton capacity, you would be in the bottom three of the business. Now, would you like to be in a market which is such a small, or let somebody else who has a much larger capacity make best use of it? So that's a strategic call we have taken.
Okay. And, we, in terms of Zinc International, we, I think, have been probably behind the guidance in terms of production and cost. So when can we actually start seeing a significant, you know, improvement over there?
I didn't get you properly.
So I think in terms of volume guidance and in terms of profit.
On the Zinc International?
Yes, on the Zinc International.
Oh, okay. No, currently there was a timing gap in overburden removal and ore production, and so they missed targets for overburden removal for the last few quarters, which has resulted in lack of production from their front. Currently, they will continue at the current rate of about 33-35 KT MIC in a quarter from first quarter, ending the year at about 65 KT MIC. So this year, as we see, they are likely to produce between 160-180 KT of MIC.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kunal Kothari from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, can you please explain what led to the sharp decline in the working capital requirement?
One of the focus areas, Kunal, in the last six odd quarters has been in terms of managing the working capital. And we've done multiple changes structurally so. If you see the fourth quarter alone, the number of working capital days has come down by almost 277 days, which is for Vedanta historical best over last all the years. So we could compress almost all the components. So in 2.7 thousand crore lower working capital, almost 900 is the receivables, and the balance 1800 plus is from inventory. So it is the sale of inventory at the year end and the lower debtors. Net over the last six odd quarters, our working capital is lower by more than $1 billion. So it is a structural, and that will continue.
So largely the reduction is coming from which segment? Aluminium, zinc, or other segment? The contribution is largely from which segment?
It is across, for sure. Aluminium has played a bigger role, but across the businesses, be it aluminium, oil, gas, and zinc as well, it is across.
And can we expect further reduction in working capital, or is it the optimal level that one can assume for FY25 and going forward?
No, so from 75 days of sales, we have an internal target to take it to any close to 65 days of sales. But yes, that will put a lot of pressure on operations and also seeing the logistics, like many of the shipments, they have a cycle time of 3 months to 6 months. So there are challenges in that, but we believe that although it is ever lowest, we can still go further down, and we'll continue to work in that direction.
Got it. And sir, second question, it's largely most of our capex is getting complete in FY25. Can you also spare your view on FY26, what capex that we are looking forward and further as well?
At the way we work is, while we will be commissioning all these past design capexes in this financial year, we will also see us going back to drawing board to look for further growth in all our businesses. Once that is done, the conceptual study is over, somewhere in H2 of this year, we will be able to tell you that what will be the kind of capex outline we will have to do for next financial year.
Got it. Okay, sure. All the best, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side. If I look at slide 33, where you have given the waterfall chart for aluminium, now in cost of production, the power cost has gone up despite e-auction prices going down significantly in the quarter. So just wanted to understand whether it is the inventory effect, and if so, then the coal cost should go down significantly actually in Q1 FY25. Is it the correct assessment?
Yeah, John, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, certainly. So in the quarter, we had two major overhaul events, which means that we are incurring higher costs for the maintenance events, and at the same time we need to purchase power from third party sources to supplement that, and that's higher than our internal generation costs. So those are the two big drivers for the increase quarter over quarter. In terms of our coal cost, the coal cost has continued to be around the same level quarter over quarter.
Can you please quantify the impact of these two outages on the coal cost this quarter?
Well, you'll see the number there. It's essentially $20 per ton.
Okay, got it. The second question is on oil and gas division. So while in oil and gas, you know, despite our efforts at alkaline polymer injection and all, we have seen that the natural decline has somehow, you know, caused production to go down. And our current guidance that we have given 120 to 140 KUBPD for this year, against 118 what we have achieved. So, how do we intend to increase the production, whether it would be closer to 120? And for it to reach 140, what are the key enablers? If you can just shed some light on these so that, you know, we can keep a tab on these enablers as the year goes by.
Steve, would you like to comment on this?
Yes, certainly. Yes. So the key focus areas for this year are the gradual switchover from polymer injection to surfactant injection. Where just this month or later on this month, the first batch of surfactant will arrive. The facilities are ready to go. We'll start to inject surfactant. As the surfactant goes through the reservoir, we'll see the water cuts fall and the oil production come up in Mangalore. That's the first project. The second phase of this, we've just awarded the contract to build the plant, and we'll see that coming in towards the back end or early next financial year. We also have a batch of infill project. This year has been largely looking back and making sure that we're planning to do the right activities, the activities that have the most impact for the dollars that we're spending. So we haven't done a huge amount of drilling this year. We're going to really start to, we've just re-tendered for rigs. We're bringing in some new additional rigs, increasing the number of drilling units and the number of wells. We've been looking at how to drill wells quicker and cheaper. We've re-tendered all of our drilling services contracts. And we're also starting to focus on a number of the discoveries that have been made from exploration over the last few years that have never been brought into production. Largely with development techniques brought in from Americas. We're also in the process of mobilizing, because we've had a lull over the last 2 years of drilling offshore. So we're taking advantage of Saudi Arabia shedding some jackups. We're going to bring either in one, two, or three, maybe even three jackups. We've got a whole batch of wells to drill on the Cambay fields on the west coast, the Rabah field on the east coast. Plus, we're going to start to go after our DSF blocks on both coasts as well and do tiebacks to the main facilities. So activities are ramping up. This will allow us to reverse the natural declines and see production start to increase. Following year, we'll see even bigger, increase if some of those longer-term development projects come to fruition.
Okay, thanks a lot for the elaborate explanation. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Aditya Welekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the recent run-up in prices we have witnessed in aluminium and zinc. So given the backdrop that the Fed may postpone its rate cuts and dollar may strengthen, so what is driving this strength in prices, and do you think this is sustainable, the level of aluminium prices which we have seen recently at $2,600 per ton?
So, John, would you like to comment on the price remaining strong in the coming quarter?
What we are seeing in the quarter is an impact.
I'm sorry, sir. Your voice is not clear.
I'll try that again. What we are seeing in the current month and probably over the next couple of months is an impact of decisions taken by the US and the UK to ban import of Russian metal. This is having an impact on the LME. The LME have imposed certain limitations on storing Russian metal in the LME warehouses and what metal can be taken out. So I think all the market participants are trying to understand how that will impact supply and demand, and what we are seeing is elevated prices as a result of that. So that's playing out over the short term. As we look medium and longer term, what we are seeing is sustained strong growth in demand for the metal and constraints in the ability to ramp up supply. So we maintain a positive medium to longer term outlook. I'm not sure whether we're going to maintain the current levels. And as Ajay mentioned, we are doing some initial hedging, but very small quantities because we do see contango in the market. We are expecting, as other market participants are, some continued strength in the market over the medium term.
Yeah, thank you. So my next question, continuing on the cost of production in aluminium division. So we have a near-term target of $1,550 per ton on cost of production in aluminium. And means you have already touched based upon the guidance for FY25. So is it the least which we can achieve, or to achieve the $1,550 per ton, it is contingent upon the operations of captive coal mines like Purloi and Radhikapur? So once they get operational, we will be able to get near the number of 1550?
John, are you coming online?
I was going to answer, but I'm happy for you to.
Oh, please go ahead.
Okay. So obviously the operation of our own coal mines will be probably the biggest driver of cost, because we will be able to significantly reduce the cost of coal. But there are other drivers as well. As we operationalize the Sijimali bauxite mine, we will avoid having to purchase imported bauxite. And as we ramp up Lanjiga refinery, again, that will enable us to displace third-party purchases of alumina. And then the other major driver is as we move our overland logistics from road to rail, that enables us to achieve further cost reductions. So it's that combination together with a whole range of operational performance improvement that will enable us to get that down.
Yeah, I understand. Thanks a lot. My last question is on power. So where are we with respect to the Meenakshi and Akhena with respect to their commissioning?
So Meenakshi 150 megawatt is about to be commissioned. We are on that process. And on Akhena, the financing and all being taken care of, and it should also come in line sometime in next financial year.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amit Lahoti from MK. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Some of my questions have already been answered. So one on strategy around M&A. With BHP looking to acquire Anglo American, and given that Vedanta was involved with Anglo American in the past, what are your thoughts around consolidation in the sector, and maybe more specifically on how Vedanta sees this in terms of strategy for international assets.
No, so we are very focused on growing all our assets primarily in domestic market in India. At the center of our international assets, if you look at, which is in South Africa, where our 30 million ton reserve that we have, we need to grow that business. Currently, it is facing some challenges on overburden stripping, but we will continue that effort. TCM, when it comes into operation, then we will be able to talk about whether how big it can be as far as copper is concerned. It is one of the best copper assets in the world, and we are very sure that that will be a huge addition to our overall VRL come Vedanta performance. But we are not really worried about consolidation in this field because we are in the metals where there is hardly, we are either number one or number two in the domestic market, and internationally either number one or number two or number three. So consolidation is not going to affect much.
Sure, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Prerna Halvasia for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you all for taking out the time to join us today. I hope we were able to answer most of your questions. In case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to me or my colleagues at the IR team. This concludes today's call. We look forward to reconnecting with you for the next quarter's earnings call. Thank you, everyone, and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Vedanta Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.